Aren't you thankful for the promises of God that they never change and they're everlasting to everlasting? You know, there's one thing that you can understand from what Brother Gale brought forward this morning, that if man has is any means to his own salvation or any part of that salvation, there'd have been no need for the new covenant. We could have fulfilled our part in the old covenant, but because we were the problem, we were the sinner, no less today than they were in the Old Testament days, we needed the covenant of grace that our sins would be paid for and put away and remembered no more by God. I'm so thankful for that promise and for those blessings and for Jesus Christ. I'd ask that you would continue to pray this morning and that the Lord would bless, that he would continue to uphold me, that I might be able to speak in such a way that would be a blessing to all that are here this morning. The thing that's on my mind, Brother Gale was here on Wednesday night, and he spoke out of Psalms 55, and it kind of stirred my mind. And if the Lord would bless these this morning, I'd like to talk about friendship for a few minutes. You know, I consider every one of you in this congregation to be my friend. But as we go along this morning, I'd like for you to think, how many friends do you have, and how many people in this world are you a friend to? Friendship is a great blessing from God. But as we know, when Judas Iscariot delivered the Lord to the mob, the Lord said, friend. Called him a friend, didn't he? Now, we have friends in the world, don't we? But are they really our friends? I want to think about a verse in Psalm 55, and it says, verse 3, we begin, it says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Now, someone might read this chapter and embrace that all that's being spoken here is of the wicked, of the non-elect, of those who are not God's children. But for your consideration this morning, I'd like you to think for a moment about not only the members of this church, but the family of God scattered everywhere here in the world. I found in my lifetime, or at least it is my opinion, that my enemies have been, the most of them, have been children of God. Not the wicked out here who are enemies to the cross of Jesus Christ, enemies to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to God himself. It's those who we have walked with and talked with. Now, you know, as friends, we have those close friends in our life, those who we're acquainted with on a more personal level. We see them a lot. We engage with them a lot. We become in a very close relationship with those, mainly because of the opportunity God has given us to be among those people more frequently than others. We have friends at a distance, but just as it was yesterday, I consider the folks at the Snyder Church to be my friends, and I hope and pray that that's the way it is. But he gives two classes of people here, I believe. Now, you can embrace them all in one, but it says because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. Now, David's speaking here. But he gives us something to consider as we go forth. Now, in John chapter 15, it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ is the greatest friend that the sinner has ever had. And I want you to understand something about this friendship. When you walk in a way that doesn't please your Savior, Jesus Christ, when you sin against his righteous and holiness, his law, he's still your friend. He doesn't love you any less. He doesn't discard you. He doesn't roll you under the bus. He doesn't say, you're no longer my friend. Now, over in John chapter 15, I find it interesting that, let me get over there for a second. We just quoted verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, is it possible that Jesus Christ considers you to be his friend, but you're not a friend to him? Now, think about that for just a moment. Did Jesus Christ in the covenant of the grace, as Brother Gale talked about, and in his walk upon the earth, did he ever walk away from his people and say, you've been so disobedient, you've done things so wrong, I have no more of you? Did he ever cast you off? No, we may be chastened, but he loves you just as much as he ever loved you. He's never forsaken you. He promises in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now you may walk away from the Lord and not acknowledge him. You may not be a friend to him, but I'll assure you he's a friend to you. What a friend we have in Jesus. I think about what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, when he said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Consider that verse for just a moment. There are two thoughts that I get out of that verse. First of all, it talks about a man that already has accumulated a number of friends. And then he tells us how he accumulated those friends by being friendly, by friendliness. That's how we all do it. And generally, to maintain a friendship, we need to continue to be friendly, don't we? We need to show affection to our friends. We need to help them to understand that if they have a need, we'll be there to help them and do whatever we can. But the question that I consider this morning, and I want you to consider, not just in the church, but out in the world, if you go astray for a little while, you make the wrong decision, if you do something that your friend would think in his mind, which would be incorrect, but he would think, I can't possibly go in that direction, walk in this way, or do what my friend done. Will he part ways with you? I want you to know that we've walked away from Christ many times in our life. I have. I feel certain that most of us have. And yet Christ is still our friend, the greatest friend that we've ever known. We're told in Luke chapter 7 that he is the friend of sinners and publicans. We're always going to be sinners as long as we live. So I consider that verse to tell me he's always the friend of the sinner, the child of God who is always a sinner. He is our friend. Now, what I want us to understand, and I hope to establish in our minds, and I'm not going to stand here too long this morning, is, are we a friend to our friends the way Jesus Christ was a friend to us? You know, as long as our friends do what we want them to do and go through life and they don't stumble and, you know, if they don't do something that we feel certain we couldn't possibly do, and that's where we're in error because there's not a one of us here that couldn't do the same thing somebody else has done regardless of what it is. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are they still the friend that we would want? There's a story, a book I was reading, and some of you may have read it, but there was a story in this book that really come and hit home to me when most of you know about James and Tammy Faye Baker and the PTL Club and the 700 Club and things that they had and the trouble that they got into. And James Baker was thrown into federal prison for several years. And when the time came that he was to be let out of prison, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, called him and said, we want to help you out. We want to get you a house, give you a place to live and to start over, and we want you to come to church with us. Well, the first thing that Jim Baker said to him was, I ought not to do that because it will tarnish your ministry. It will be bad upon your efforts in the church. You ought not to do that for me. But I love his response. He said, you were our friend before you went to prison, and you're still our friend. Are your friends that way? When one of your friends done something that you didn't approve of, and it very well may have been a sin, but all sin ultimately is against God. When somebody you love and somebody you deeply care for does something that you don't like or that you, in your mind, your fickle mind, I would say, and my fickle mind, believe that we couldn't possibly do, because I tell you, there's not anything out there, if it wasn't for the restraining grace of Almighty God, that you and I couldn't do. Are they still our friend? Do we still love them? When the day's over, will we be there for them? See, friendship is a gift from God, but it's not based upon conditions, as Brother Gale would say. Jesus Christ is an unconditional friend to everyone that's in the family of God. He may not approve of your actions, but he's always your friend. Because he will never forsake you. He will never let you down. Any promise he ever made, he will never break. When we're told over in John, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, the reason he's always our friend and we're not always his friends, he never breaks a promise. He never goes awry. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He's a true friend. A friend that is there. God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. And when you fall in this life, and I'll assure you that if you've ever stumbled, you're not through stumbling. We're sinners as long as we live. But Jesus Christ will always be your friend. Unfortunately, for us sinners who live and try to do things right, at times in our life we get to the point of judging folks that we ought not to judge under that condition. And we forsake them and we're no longer their friend because they didn't live up to our standards and the things that we thought they ought to do. That's what stirred my mind in Psalm 55. And you can argue that maybe that psalm was not speaking of that manner, but I tell you what, I believe that happens in the thoughts in this psalm. Do embrace it. He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Before we continue there, I want to get a verse over in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. Notice what it says. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, sometimes, and I've told this to my wife, and I think everyone understands what I'm talking about. If you have a real friend out there, you do what's best for the friend. But you don't forsake the friend. You know, there's an old saying that, if you have a friend that's drinking, friends don't let friends drive drunk, or whatever that saying is. I ain't getting it just right, but there's some truth to that. You know, if a friend does something wrong, you ought to do the right thing. Now, you know, Judas Iscariot acted like he was Jesus' friend and he delivered him to the mob. But it says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. How many friends do you have in life that will hug you and kiss you, and the first time you mess up, they don't know, want no part of you? They're deceitful. They're not really your friend. I want you to understand who your real friends are, and I want you to understand the importance of being a real friend to someone. They're going to mess up. We've all messed up. We're all going to backslide. We're all going to stumble in life. I'm sorry, but we're sinners, and we're going to be sinners till the Lord comes back. If you don't have any sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth's not in you. If you're not a sinner, you don't have any business being here in the church or the house of God. Because this is a hospital for sinners. This is where we come to hear the good news that God has redeemed sinners in the covenant of grace, as Brother Gale spoke of this morning. But what I want us to consider this morning is true friendship, being a real friend to one another. Because as you go through the journey of life, people that you know and love and you're around are going to do things that you'd have never dreamed they'd do. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we believe that it's impossible for you and I to fall into the same rut and do the same thing, but it's not. If not by the grace of God, we could have been right where they are, any of them. The question is, do we want to be a true friend? We get back to Psalms 55, and in verse 12, I love this, when you begin to consider it, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Think about what David is saying here as he goes through this. It was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Someone who he thought was his friend is going to have nothing to do with him here in a moment as you read. He said, then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Who could this individual be? Is it possible that it could be someone like Judas Iscariot that was going along pretending to be a friend? And then all of a sudden, when things went awry, he had no part of it. You could even put that in this verse. But I think in our life and in our walk here upon the earth, we find this exact situation happened to many of God's people. And it ought not to be that way. He goes on, he said, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. Me and Brother Gale was talking Wednesday night, and you wonder, is this Saul? Is this Absalom? I believe it's Saul because he said he was my guide. You know, he was king over Israel, the first king over Israel, Saul. He chased David for years, and it was his intent to kill David. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. This wasn't one of the wicked out in the world, at least it wasn't someone out there that was not a friend to him in some manner. He says he's his acquaintance. And the next verse will really touch your heart. He says, we took sweet counsel together. Do you know anybody in this life, and I'm not just talking about in the church, that they were your friend and you took sweet counsel with them, and something caused your friendship to go in the other direction and you parted ways? It's so sad, but this is what's happening here, and this is the view that David had. He took sweet counsel. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That's sad. Have you ever known anybody in your life that way? That you took sweet counsel together and you walked to the house of God in company, and now they're no longer your friend because you fell by the wayside in some manner that they didn't approve of? You know, when you go over to Luke chapter 15 and you talk about the lost sheep and the lost coin, when the man found his lost sheep and the woman found her piece of silver, she called her friends and her neighbors to rejoice. The question is, did they rejoice? As Luke began that chapter, it was directed at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they thought Jesus had no right or no business dealing with such ungodly people as those sinners and publicans. Yet the Bible declares to us in Luke chapter 7 that he is the friend of sinners and publicans. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we were given example by the Lord Jesus Christ that we should walk in his steps. If we walk in the steps of Jesus Christ in our life, it should be of our greatest concern to mirror his image to our best ability. We know that he's a friend to every child of God, whether we're his friend or not, because he never is going to break a promise to us. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to walk and do something that he's promised to do for us in this life. It's us who break away from the Lord. It's us who forsake the Lord. And when we don't keep his commandments and we don't walk in his ways, we're not being a friend to him, but he's still our friend, the greatest friend that you and I have ever had. What a friend we have in Jesus. When you think about what Solomon said back over in the 18th chapter and the 24th verse of Proverbs, he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That doesn't directly have reference to Jesus Christ, but I believe it does indirectly have reference to Jesus Christ. You know, in that verse, it talks about a brother, and I believe it could even speak of a blood brother. A lot of brothers are close, and when it comes down to it, they'd do whatever it took for their brother to help them, to be there in their time of need. This comes natural. But the Bible tells us that it's possible for your family, every member of them, to forsake you. But the Bible tells us that God will take you up. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. He's going to be there when you're down, when you stumble. And I promise you, we're all going to stumble. We've all stumbled in our life, and if you think your stumbling's over, you need to think again. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're sinners, and we need God's grace every day that we live and walk through this life. So as we leave today and we part this building, be thankful for the promises of God that Brother Gale spoke of. But be thankful that we have a friend who will always be our friend, no matter how far off the base that we get, no matter how many mistakes that we make, no matter how many sins that we commit, Jesus Christ is always a friend to every child of God. And as the example he's given us, we ought to be a true friend to our friends. understanding that they could do something that you and I could never imagine that they'd do. But just as Franklin Graham and Billy Graham did, when Jim Baker come to church that first Sunday after being out of prison, he sat between Billy and Ruth Graham. Now, I don't care if you believe in their doctrine. I don't think you folks do, but that has nothing to do with being a Christian. They done the right thing. He was a friend to them before he got himself in trouble, and he was no less a friend to them when he got out. Could you say the same for your friends? We ought to be a friend to our brothers and sisters, a real friend, a true friend. Not just when they walk according to the way that you and I think they ought to walk. If that's how Jesus Christ treated us, we'd all been cast off forever. Because I know at some point in our lives, we've not walked according to his ways, his truth, and certainly not always been obedient. May God bless us to understand the importance of friendships and being a true friend to our friends. May God bless you this morning.